This is Senior Moments on KVON 1440.
Proudly brought to you by the Queen of the Valley Medical Center and Community Benefit. In collaboration with Community Action of Napa Valley as a Leadership Napa Valley project.
And this time around for the Senior Moments program, we are happy to welcome into the studio Doug Wilson, who is the medical director at the Queen of the Valley Hospital for Supportive and Palliative Services, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Glad to have you for Senior Moments to talk specifically about the work that you do and about the fact that it's Advanced Directive Month. So why don't we start with that?
Sure. It is Advanced Directive Month, and that is an opportunity for us to be aware that we live in a modern world with newfangled things every day, and there's all kinds of opportunities to have longer, better life, and mm-hmm. also new and novel ways to suffer, mm-hmm. and advanced directives are a great way to help make sure that we get the care we want and that we relieve suffering for ourselves and our family members.
New and novel ways to suffer. there's always a trade-off, right?
That's right.
Live longer, more ways to suffer. For the very basic conversation, what is meant by an advanced directive, and who should have one, and when in your life should you be thinking about that?
That's a perfect question.
That's why they pay me the big bucks.
They've got a good investment there. So an advance directive is just a document that expresses your values and your wishes for medical care if you're too sick to tell the doctors yourself what you want. And it's recommended for anyone over 18, because before 18, your parents decide what kind of care you get if you're in a coma or you, for some reason, can't communicate. Mm-hmm. After 18, if you haven't designated who's going to be making your decisions, you're likely to set up some family feuds between people that might have different ideas about what the best care for you is. And people that you love may be saddled with some very difficult decisions about, you know, what to do, because they might see you suffering terribly and feel like that's unacceptable. But then to make a decision to allow you to die, that's unacceptable. So there's a lot of stress.
And you know, I think I developed one of these quite a few years ago out of the compassion for your children, and for a lot of people it is the children that get stuck with that decision. So why would you want to force your child to make the decision when you can be, providing your own instruction to them? This is what I want. Just do what I want when the time comes.
Exactly.
So simple. Why do people not do it, do you think? Not create an advance directive?
Well, it's awkward to think about. And sometimes it's awkward to talk about. And many of us think that it's too soon to worry about that because we're not dying. And for 3/4 of the population who doesn't have a directive, it's too soon, and it stays too soon until it's too late.
Wow. 3/4 of the adult population hasn't done this?
Correct.
Yeah. Do you think there's confusion between that and something like power of attorney, or the idea that someone will take over when you don't want them to?
So, right. So there's power of attorney, which can be for finances, and then the durable power of attorney for healthcare is
right.
Another word for the advanced directive.
Okay.
And most advanced directives give you the opportunity to say, I want this to go into effect when I'm no longer able to make my own decisions. Mm-hmm. Or some people say, I just want the person that I'm naming as my surrogate decision maker to be making my decisions right away.
Yeah, okay. So it's all within your control.
Exactly.
As the future dead person.
As we all are.
Yes, exactly. So a do not resuscitate is a term that we hear sometimes as well, right? Is that part of the advanced directive process? Is that how that ends up on the patient's chart?
So it's a separate process. A do not resuscitate is a doctor's order that describes one element of care, should a person stop breathing or their heart stop. And so an advanced directive might eventually lead to a do not resuscitate order, but they're separate. Mm-hmm. You bring up the point about the pulsed form, which is a do not resuscitate order if the person chooses that, or it can be a doctor's order saying, I do want to be resuscitated. It's a bright pink form that some people put on their refrigerators so that mm-hmm. paramedics come to the home and they know to look in the refrigerator, and it will tell them, this is what I think the best care for me possible is in different situations.
Mm-hmm. It's just so simple to do, right? So if a patient, one more question I think on this, and we'll jump to other topics. If a patient surprisingly ends up, not because of an anticipated situation, but all of a sudden, here's the patient unresponsive or not a likely outlook, not going to recover, not able to speak or provide direction to the doctors. And then here comes the family, and the family says, well, doctor, you tell me that there's no hope for grandma, grandpa, whatever the case is. So can we just, you know, turn the machines off? If there's no paperwork there, what happens?
If the family or the people closest to the patient say, you know, they're all in agreement, they say our loved one wouldn't want this, this is not in the person's best interest, then the machines can get turned off. We can make sure that there's comfort.
If everybody agrees.
If everybody agrees, that's mm-hmm. right.
And so the problems develop when they don't.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Very interesting. We're talking here in our Senior Moments program with Doug Wilson from Queen of the Valley Hospital. You are a physician, yes?
That's right.
And you've been doing this for some time. So define for us palliative care versus supportive care versus hospice.
Okay. So palliative and supportive care are more or less synonyms. To palliate is to cover or reduce the suffering in the situation where cure might not be possible. Sometimes it is. Sometimes we get involved with situations where there's a lot of suffering, there might be pain or other types of distress, and so we're called in for that in the situation of a person that has a condition that might be curable. But a lot of the time it's a condition that a person is likely to die of, and we're trying to make their life experience as good as possible in that setting, both right now and how can we help today be as good as possible, and also anticipating what the normal human experience is, what's likely in your future, how can we plan to make that as good as possible as well. Mm-hmm. So then within the larger area of palliative care, there's the hospice benefit, which is a Medicare program for people who probably have less than 6 months to live.
Mm-hmm. That's more of a certainty situation then. You're not in that might recover when you're in hospice. That's kind of an obvious.
Well, you know, it's a great point. They say it's for a prognosis of less than 6 months, but that's really what doctors think. And my grandma was a great teacher to me in many ways. One of which was to help teach me humility about doctors' ability to prognosticate, because she had a very bad heart. The doctor said, you know, most people in your situation are dead within a couple months, except they said it as, you have a couple months to live. And so she said, well, in that case, my priorities are, I want to be home. I don't want to be schlepping back and forth to the hospital. I want my family around me. I want to be comfortable. I want to go to God when my time comes. And so she came home with hospice. Hospice loved on her for a year, and they graduated her, and she went back on hospice 3 years later.
Oh, wow. Interesting story. A lesson in humility, right? Anyway.
Yes.
What is there such a thing as, this is an odd question maybe, but a typical hospice scenario? I mean, it's a preponderance of, I would assume, the most common diseases that end up being fatal to us. Yes?
Yeah, I think that's right. And anything that kills us softly or slowly, mm-hmm. You know, if it's not a car accident or, you know, something, massive stroke or big blood clot that just, or heart attack that takes you immediately, but it's something that is progressive, opens up the possibility that people can say, you know, it's time I want to focus on my quality of experience rather than mm-hmm. seeing how long we can delay this process.
Yeah, and being on a huge number of medications and going through different procedures and surgeries and trying to recover from them, and you know, that in itself is nightmarish, you know, especially if the potential outcome is probably not good. You know, you're probably going to end up in the same place. It seems pretty civilized that we've gotten to this moment where more people are taking control, you know, of that end of life rather than sort of being victimized by good intentions, right?
Yes, it is very interesting. It's you know, there are these waves of sort of what feels important to us, and in the 60s, 70s, 80s, we were sort of flush on our success in medicine and making a huge difference, putting people on ventilators, prolonging life, and so we tended not to ask people what was important to them. We tended to, and this still happens, where the next thing that you need to do or that is recommended, and sometimes we don't even ask you what you want, is we say, you have this diagnosis, this is the medical treatment. And for most of us, our humanity is also important. Like, what are my goals? How do your medical treatments impact what's important to me? Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. It's our Senior Moments program for this week. We're talking again with Doug Wilson from Queen of the Valley Supportive and Palliative Care Medical Director. How many people at a time might be in your program, as it were?
So I work on the inpatient side, and at any time, you know, maybe 20, 25 people will be referred to us.
Mm-hmm. That's a significant number. Yeah. And with the aging population and with people living longer, do we end up seeing a growth in this? Will there be, you know, representative increases in that number?
Yes. It's the baby boom wave is coming. Mm-hmm. And so it's something that's more and more important, I think, for a higher proportion of us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How are we doing in Napa, in California, in the United States, compared to other cultures, societies, in their way of dealing with these same issues?
That's a great question. I have volunteered in one of the poorest countries in Africa, and palliative care is not so important there because you know, most people die in the way humans have over time. And it's often young. You know, the average life expectancy is in the early 40s. And so it sort of depends on where we are. And then other societies are sort of on the other end, where people are actively choosing to end their life more frequently than here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I suppose it's a little bit of a you know, it's a first world problem, right?
That's right.
That because in so many of those countries, you're not going to make it to a stage of, you know, late life disease that we're dealing with.
That's right. It's yeah. It's a gift.
Yeah.
It's
a.
Mm-hmm. It's very fortunate that we are able to have this be a problem.
Mm-hmm. All right. Have I missed anything?
No, I think I'd just like to call out Honoring Choices Napa Valley, You can find it on the web at hcnv.org. You can complete an advance directive there.
That was what I wanted to ask about.
You can
about.
Print out forms and complete them. You can either have two people witness your directive, or you can have it notarized. You can do it online right there through the link to Common Good, and then you can send it into the hospital, and we'll have it there so that we know what you think the best care possible for you is when you get there.
So simple, and it shouldn't cost anything, right?
That's right. It's free.
Yeah. It's not this. You don't have to hire a lawyer to do an advance directive.
That's absolutely
right.
That's
important to know, because some people might think, well, I can't afford to do that kind of thing.
I would quickly like to mention that the best directives tell you, your family, something about your values, in addition to just, if there's no hope, what do I want to do?
Yeah.
But what between, you know, suffering versus long life, if I'm in a different situation, like if I'm in a persistent vegetative state, or if I'm in severe chronic pain and I'm delirious and unable to communicate, you know, what would I want tomorrow if something happens versus what would I want in those situations?
Yeah.
And then it's not just a form, it's the conversation with your loved ones,
right,
letting them know the nuances of, like, what's important to you, what trade-offs would you accept.
All right. Great information in the Senior Moments program this time with Doug Wilson from Queen of the Valley Hospital. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me, Barry.
You bet. And time for a break here after a moment to hear this.
Senior Moments was proudly brought to you by the Queen of the Valley Medical Center and Community Benefit in collaboration with Community Action of Napa Valley as a Leadership Napa Valley Project.